The third thing that I want you to see from Moses' experience is that a journey of escape can lead you to an unexpected place. Verse 15 says, when Pharaoh heard of what Moses had done, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, the Midianites were distant cousins of the Hebrews. Midian was one of the six sons that Abraham had by his second wife. How many of you did not know that Abraham had a second wife? Her name was Keturah. After Sarah died, he remarried, and he had six sons. And one of them was named Midian. He is the father of the Midianites. Now, when you look at a map of the Middle East, especially Egypt, Sinai Peninsula, if Moses had gone more to the north and gone into Canaan, what was later known as the Promised Land, it was much shorter, it was much nicer country, and it was inhabited by some civilization. But he went across the Sinai Peninsula, where there was no civilization, hot and dusty and dirty, and went to the Midianites, who dwelt on both sides of what is called the Gulf of Aqaba. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because Egypt ruled everything going north all the way through Palestine, what's today Israel and Palestine, up into Syria, up into north, southern Turkey. Had he gone there, Pharaoh had all of his armies in there. He had soldiers in there. They would have found Moses. So he goes to a desolate place. He goes to a place that is wilderness, isolated, far from the centers of power, far from civilization. I don't think that on the day that Moses went out to check on the children of Israel, on the Hebrews, the day that he killed the Egyptian, I don't think when he went out that morning, he was even thinking of the Midianites, or he was thinking of Midian. But in just a couple of short days, in a couple of weeks, that's exactly where he ended up. Sometimes on your journey through life, your journey is going to take you to an unexpected place, especially if you're running, if you're trying to escape. The problem is that none of us know where we will end up when we run from our circumstances. The place that you end up if you're trying to escape may not even be as good as the place you were running from. Now listen, I'm not trying to rule out the sovereign hand of God in the life of Moses. But if you look at it from a purely human perspective, the deserts of Midian did not compare in any way to the palace of Pharaoh. When we try to escape our journey, we think that if I could just change my life somehow, it would be better. If I could just change my circumstances, my life would be better. It doesn't always work that way. Many people have run from their circumstances only to find out that they ended up in a worse place. Escaping your journey is not always the answer. Now, there is good news in all of this, and that's the next point that I want you to look at. A journey of escape is not the end of the road. Sometimes we escape from where we are. We make choices that take us somewhere else, trying to escape bad circumstances, and we end up in a worse place perhaps. That's not the end of the road. And I want you to be encouraged by that. Moses ran from Egypt because he was trying to escape his situation. He ended up in a desolate, obscure place, far from what anyone, even in that day, called civilization. And you would think that that was the end of the road for Moses. In fact, in his mind, he may have thought that, I'm out here, I'll never be heard from again. For those of you who are visiting today, for the last 30 years, I've had a ministry in Haiti. And many, many years ago, about 28 years ago, I visited this town in Haiti. To get to that town, the bus stops about 8 hours before that town, and you end up walking, or if you're a missionary, you have a vehicle, you can drive there, and you go through several small towns, and there's a little town, and the road stops. Nothing goes beyond that town. And this is just the way my weird mind works. I thought to myself, boy, if I was ever running from the law, this is where I'd go. They are never going to find anybody here. It is so far removed from civilization that no one would ever find you. And I think that was what Moses was banking on. I'm going to the Midianites. Pharaoh will never find me here. And for more than 40 years, Moses looked at the back end of a group of sheep and labored in obscurity across a dry, barren landscape. But as you know, that was not the end of his journey. Starting in chapter 3, Moses' life took an unexpected turn. And in chapter 3, we have that great story about the burning bush where God meets Moses face to face, if I can use that expression. And for the next 40 years, Moses served God as one of the greatest leaders in the history of Israel. His journey of escape to Midian was not the end of the road for Moses. And if you are in that place where you have tried to escape something on your journey and it didn't turn out the way you thought it would, maybe you landed in a worse place, in worse circumstances, in a worse situation, I think you can be encouraged that where you are doesn't have to be the end of the road. God can still use you. God can still make you profitable on your journey. I'm reminded of a young man in the New Testament by the name of John Mark. He's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. As a young man, in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas decide that they are going to take a missionary journey. That's the human way of saying it. The spiritual way of saying it is that God sent them on a missionary journey, which is exactly what happened. And they took this young man by the name of John Mark, who was apparently related to Barnabas, on their missionary journey. And it didn't take very long for things to get very difficult and very unpleasant on that journey. And John Mark turned around and left and went back home. He ran from a difficult situation. And when he abandoned the team, the Apostle Paul blacklisted him from ever serving with him again. Later, some years, Paul decides to take a second missionary journey, and Barnabas says, "Let's take John Mark." And Paul said, "Absolutely not. He's on my blacklist. He's not going anywhere with me." And the division became so strong between these two godly leaders, Paul and Barnabas, that Barnabas took John Mark and went this way, and Paul chose a man by the name of Silas who ended up in the Philippian jail with him, and they went that way. Fast forward to the end of Paul's life. He's in prison. He's writing probably the last New Testament letter that we have, the letter of 2 Timothy. And at the end of that letter, he writes to Timothy, "Timothy, come and see me. When you come, bring John Mark with you. He is profitable to me for the ministry." If we didn't have that statement in 2 Timothy, we would think that John Mark's journey had come to an end. That after he left the missionary team as a young man, perhaps a teenager, who couldn't handle the difficulties, who couldn't handle the hardships, and he went back home to mama, you would think that would be the end of his story. But the Apostle Paul said, bring him. I need him. He's profitable to me. Something changed in John Mark's life. That's a whole other message. We'll get into it someday. Can I tell you that if you are running from your situation, or if you have run from your situation and you've just tried to bail out, maybe bail out on God, that does not have to be the end of your journey. God can still use you. Now, I want to take those 4 points and I want to give you some practical applications that might help you now on your journey. And here's the first one. Don't look for an escape from your journey just because it's hard. How hard or how difficult your journey is never the criteria for whether or not you should look for a way out. If the degree of difficulty was how we measured our journey, and if it was too difficult, we ran, we quit, the Apostle Paul would never have gone on the second missionary journey. On his first journey, he faced fierce opposition. On his first journey, he was persecuted. On his first journey, he was stoned to the point that they left him for dead. Can I tell you that people in those days knew how to stone people? And when they said he was dead, there was about a 99% chance he was dead. And he stood up and he walked away. It was not, if difficulty was the criteria that we used to make a decision about whether or not to bail out on our journey, Paul would never have gone on the second missionary journey. But those things did not stop him. Many missionaries today, if they use the criteria of difficulty, would never go back for their second term as a missionary. By the way, do you realize that a vast percentage of missionaries never go back for their second 4 years? Most missionaries have 4-year terms. They're there 4 years, come home for a year, they're 4 years. It's changing a little bit, but that's sort of been the MO of missionaries for many years. A high percentage never go back for their next second 4 years because of the difficulty of the journey. If the degree of difficulty is how we measure our journey, most Christians of the past and many Christians today would run. I've told you this before, but I follow on Facebook a Chinese church, that a very large church. And most churches in China that are not part of the government-approved system, we refer to them as house churches, but many of them are thousands and thousands of people. So the phrase house church is sort of misleading. Some of them have huge buildings. Those who do not join the approved group of churches by the government are being persecuted heavily almost every single week. They post on their Facebook site, Brother So-and-so was arrested today by the police in this city and thrown in jail. Sister So-and-so and her 3 children were kicked out of their apartment because the police came to the landlord and said, if you don't get rid of them, we're going to arrest you. So the landlord had no choice. And they have taken, most churches are very quiet in China with a philosophy that if we're quiet, the government will ignore us. This church has taken the opposite stand, and they publish the name of every single member of their church who's arrested by the government. Every single person who's being persecuted, they put their names out for the whole world to see. And they are being persecuted. China is on a vast a system of persecuting these churches who are evangelical churches who are preaching the gospel and trying to shut them down. You need to pray for the believers in China. They're going through tremendous persecution. If they used hardship as their criteria for whether they would bail out during this time of persecution, they would all leave. Don't look for an escape from your journey just because it's hard. The second application I want to give you is that escaping from your journey isn't always the answer. Sometimes when we go through difficult times in life, we think the only answer is to get out, to escape. Escape my bad life, escape my bad circumstances, escape what hurts me. But escaping is not always the answer. Sometimes God puts you in those difficult situations because he needs someone in that situation. And he has chosen you to be his servant in hard times. In our adult Bible fellowship this morning, we're studying the book of Ruth, and our lesson today was called A Way Out. I didn't plan it that way to preach on this and teach on that the same Sunday, but it worked out that way. And we talked about Ruth's problems and Naomi's problems and all the bad things that happened. And then we talked about what are some of the things we need to consider when we're asking God for a way out. This is one of them. God might put you in a difficult place, in a difficult circumstances, because he needs someone there. He needs someone who will be an encouragement to other people. He needs someone who will be a witness. He needs someone who will bring glory to God. And he has put you there because he thinks you're qualified to do that. Think about your bad circumstances, your bad situation. Think about how other people's lives will be affected if you decide to run, if you decide to get out. Don't look at escape as your first option. Having said that, number three is escaping from your journey may be the answer. I don't want you to leave today thinking that I have said you should never try to get out of bad circumstances. Now, this is where it becomes difficult. Sometimes you need to escape your journey. You need to just to get out. And only you will know when you should stay and when you should go. And if that's your situation and you're in a bad situation, or sometime in the future you're in a bad situation and you don't know whether you should get out of an abusive marriage, you don't know whether you should get out of a bad situation, then let me encourage you to follow James's advice in James chapter 1 and verse 5 and ask God for wisdom. God, give me wisdom to know whether I should run or whether I should stay. There will be times in your life when escaping from your journey will be the right thing to do. And the last thing that I want to give you as an application is, on your journey, when it becomes difficult, keep your eyes on Jesus. When I wrote that down as in my study this week, I thought, so many, many things in the Christian life come down to this. Just think about it. So many things in the Christian life come down to just keeping our eyes on Jesus. That comes from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who created the gospel, the one who created our faith, the finisher, the one who completes our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If anyone should have looked for an escape, a way out, it was Jesus. But he had his eyes on the end game and for what was to come, and he endured. We always need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But we especially need to keep our eyes on Jesus in the hard times, when life becomes difficult. Listen, each of us, as I said at the beginning, are on a journey through life, and we're all going to face difficult times in our journey. There will be times in your journey when, like Moses, you are tempted to run, you're tempted to escape your situation. And in those times, you will need great wisdom that only God can give you. Sometimes the answer will be to stay. Sometimes the answer will be to run, to get out. That's a decision that I cannot make for you. That's a decision that only you and God can make together. Ask him for wisdom. Because in all of our journeys, we're going to hit that place in the road where one way says journey of escape. Do you take it or do you stay on the journey? Father, that's the wisdom that we need to know when, like Moses, to run from our circumstances, to run from our situation, or to stay. Father, I pray that you would give each of us today wisdom to know your will, what you want us to do, not what makes life easy, not what we want to do so things are pleasant, but to know your will, even if that means staying in very bad circumstances, because that's where you've put us, and we believe that you have a purpose in our being there. And so we pray for wisdom. In Christ's name, amen.